This is KLLGLP 97.9 FM, Willits, California. I'm Greg Schindel, train singer. We are now boarding the Bipolar Express.
Chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga-chugga up the hill. Puffin' and a-chuggin', you know that engine will reach the summit and go down the other side. Whoopee! What a ride! Clickety-clackety-clickety-clackety-click.
Yes. Whoopee! As I always say every week, what a ride. As we spin and wobble toward another major day in the year to celebrate. It's called Imbolc. I-M-B-O-L-C, beginning on February 2nd. So, and as you bipolar pig and express listeners may know by now, we're talking about the Wheel of the Year. And it's an annual cycle of season festivals observed by many modern pagans, consisting of the year's chief solar events, solstices and equinoxes and the midpoints between them. So, but these are opportunities for us to celebrate. Celebrate the seasons. Why not? Why not celebrate? Oh boy, it's tomorrow. Wee-hee, I can hardly wait. Oh, you will though. So I just wanted to do that. So, but away we go, as I say, and aside from the pagan celebrations, the Christian Church, especially the major heads of the Catholics, the Episcopals, the Lutherans, they celebrate the season of Epiphany right now. You know, the star, the wise men, the baptism of Jesus by John in the Jordan that day. Sounds like a song. Now, it is written that at the moment of the baptism of Jesus, a white dove descended to Jesus, and God's voice spoke of his beloved son. And that made me think of one of my favorite poems by Albert Sijo called Field Preacher. I'd like to recite that one to you right now. I want to bear witness. I want to tell what I feel when I see what's happening before my eyes. Oh, I can hardly believe what I see happening before my eyes. I want to stand in a field and preach. I want to be a field preacher like John Muir's father. I want to stand under an open sky in a field, and I want to exhort and lament, oraculate, enthuse, inveigh, scold, rail, storm and rage on, wail and bewail, elegize and lyricize, incite and declaim, expostulate, razz, sermonize, harangue. I want to outspeak. I want to hold forth, rant and rave. I want to lay it on thick. I want to muckrake. I want to rhapsodize. I want to preach till I'm sweating. I want to work up a lather till finally I fall back, and the sky opens to me, and glorious beauty lights on me, and I hear what every son must hear, and every father say, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Oh, God, yes, and you know, You don't have to be Jesus or John to hear it, or you don't even have to be God to say that. And that goes for our beloved sisters out there, too, as well. Albert, oh, breaking down. I'm picking up a letter he wrote to me and told me what page the next reading was on. So I'm looking at that, and I luckily wrote it down in my book. Believe me, this is totally off the wall and off the cuff, but I do have little notes here and there, and there it is. Yes, that was called Taka Taka. Now, in this particular track around the Little Lake Valley, Train Singer and I, well, we're going to share the ride with our unique approaches to doing our own thing on KLLG LP, by the way, 97.9 FM in Willits. And I want to say, I am so glad to hear from so many of you listeners. You see me on the street, you're calling me, you're just, Craig, oh, your show. I couldn't do it without Mike, though. Here he is, wringing his hands, going, oh, God, another show. Oh, yes, but, and you were telling me that you like the sharing of poems and stories, as well as the music and my bad jokes. I added the bad jokes part. But let me then, with that in mind, let me read another one of Albert's poems, and this is called Bodhisattva Vows. Bodhisattva vows to be the last one off the sinking ship. You sign up and find out it's forever. Passenger list endless. Ship never empties. Ship keeps sinking but doesn't go quite under. On board, angst, panic, and desperation hold sway. Turns out, bodhisattvahood is a freaking job like any other, but different in that there's no weekends, holidays, vacations, no golden years of retirement. You're spending all your time and energy getting other people off the sinking ship into lifeboats bound gaily for nirvana while there you are sinking. And of course, you had to go and give your life jacket away. So now, let us be cheerful as we sink, our spirit ever buoyant as we sink. I don't know why that's funny, Greg. That's funny. Yes, but we don't, remember, we don't sink all the way. You just see the light and be the light and oh, you feel the sound and oh, that cool, how about that cool, clear, fresh, sweet water. Watching the blowing leaves up in the bending trees, diving from the high cliffs and sailing down to the beach. See the light, be the light, feel the sound. Take a drink of it, sweet water. Look out your window pane. Water on the willow, growing with a grain. Mama's little baby, sleep in the grass. Sit yourself down, pick up your glass and take a drink of sweet water. Look out your window pane. Yeah, da, da, dee, 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 dee. See that lady with a red dress on, oh, lying on the couch. Flashing eyes, smile upon her mouth. See the light, be the light, feel the sound. Take a drink of it, sweet water. Look out your window panes. Water on the willow, growing with the grain. Mama's little baby, asleep in the grass. Sit yourself down, pick up your glass, take a drink of love, sweet water. Look out your window pane. Bum, 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 wee. Superfly, beat his head against the sky. Your drinking cup is filled, home behind the windowsill. See the light, be the light, feel the sound. Take a drink of it, sweet water. Look out your window pane. Pour water on the well. Mama, little baby, sleep in the grass. Sit yourself down, pick up your glass. Take a drink of sweet water. Look out your window, bay. Bum 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 bum. I'll take a drink of sweet water. Look out your window pane. Pour water on the willow, growing with a grain. Hey, mama's little baby, sleep in the grass. Sit yourself down, pick up your glass and take a drink of sweet water. Look out your window pane. Whim, bum, 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 bum. Yes, you know. Nice to be home behind the windowsill. Yes. Actually, I was doing that a little while ago and I was washing dishes. The only way I'll get my hands clean. Oh, no, don't say that. Okay. Hey, I saw on Facebook a quote that began, "Don't be a slave to your past." Well, you know, that's kind of like the be here now idea, or don't look back with regret or forward with anxiety and all those self-help remarks. But I got to tell you, I got problems with both backwards and forwards these days. Oh, gee, Greg, sounds like you don't know whether you're coming or going. Hey, really, Trainsinger, I should have, coulda, woulda, wished I had. You know how that is? God, if I'd only... What if I hadn't had that? I could have just... Shoulda, coulda, woulda, wished I had. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, wished I had. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, woulda. The man said your tire's beyond repair. That old darn thing still holds air. So I drove out in the country without a care. That thing went flat and I'm still out there. Yeah, I shoulda, coulda, woulda, wished I had. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, wished I had. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, wished I had. Yeah. Had a VW bus with four speeds on the floor. A rebuilt engine, who had asked for more? I forgot to shift on the freeway with the pedal to the floor. I blew a rod right through the case. Oil, smoke galore. Wow. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, wished I had. Shoulda, coulda, wished I had. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, woulda. Ha, 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 ha. Had a worn out string on my guitar. I didn't change the thing, I pushed it way too far. Agents and promoters came to see me at the bar, and if I hadn't broke that string, well, I'd be a star! Whoa, Gregory! Shoulda, coulda, woulda, wished I had. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, wished I had. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, wished I had. Yeah. I didn't get a lawyer when I found myself in court. I'll represent myself just to keep the trial short. But everything I showed the judge, he would just only thwart. Now I'm losing everything and paying child support. No! Shoulda, coulda, woulda, wished I had. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, wished I had. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, woulda, shoulda, woulda, shoulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, wished I had. I shoulda, coulda, woulda, wished I had. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, shoulda, coulda, woulda, 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 wish I had. Okay, well, I'm not letting my past be a slave, or me be a slave to it. No, no, I'm cool, right? Well, moving right along, Gregory. Yes, I will. It's kind of unnerving to look ahead these days, you know, if you want to do it, as we venture into 2020. You know, 100 years ago, it was the roaring 20s. And what are we doing now? What are we doing right now, Mike? Are we roaring?
Just plodding along.
Here we are, the plodding along 20s. Okay. I'm concerned that our government is actually turning against itself and our Constitution. And I pray our right to vote is still a sacred right and that it will count. And in so many ways, however, you know, nothing has really changed. For example, here's a song out of the early 60s. Oh, they're rioting in Africa. They're starving in Spain. There's hurricanes in Florida. And Texas needs rain. The whole world is festering with unhappy souls. The French hate the Germans. The Germans hate the Poles. Italians hate Yugoslavs. South Africans hate the Dutch. And I don't like anybody very much. But we can be thankful, tranquil, and proud that man's been endowed with a mushroom-shaped cloud. And we know for certain that some lovely day someone will set the spark off and we will all be blown away. Whee! Oh, they're rioting in Africa. There's strife in Iran. What nature doesn't do to us will be done by our fellow man. And I'd say you could throw in a few women in there too. Now let me preach you a sermon about old man Adam, and I'm not talking about the Adam in the Bible, Adam, and I'm not talking about the Adam that Eve made it, no, I'm talking about the thing that science liberated, the thing Einstein said he's scared of, and if Einstein's scared, brother, I'm scared. But if you're scared of the A-bomb, here's what you gotta do, you gotta gather all the people together with you, because if you don't get together and do it, before too long, he's gonna blow this world plumb to Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Alamogordo, Bikini. Now, life used to be such a simple joy. The cyclotron was a super toy. Things got born, they worked, they married. The atom was just a word in the dictionary, and oh, then it happened. All the science boys from every clime, they pitched in together with their overtime. And before you knew it, the job was done. They hooked up the power of an all-darn sun. Put a harness on old Saul. Splitting atoms while the diplomats were splitting hairs. Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Alamogordo. Now the atom's international in spite of hysteria, you know, it flourished in Utah, the as well as Siberia. And whether you're white, black, red, or brown, the question is this when you boil it down. To be or not to be, that is the question. And the answer to all this ain't military datum, like who got there first is with the most is Adam. No, it's up to the people to decide their fate. You gotta get it together or disintegrate. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men may be cremated equal. Oh, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Alamogordo, Bikini. Yeah, it's up to the people because the atom don't care. You can't fence him in. He's just like air. He doesn't give a hoot about politics. He got what into whichever fits. All he cares about is sitting back and having his nucleus bombarded by neutrons. So the moral's this, is plain as day. Old Mad Adam, he's here to stay. He's gonna stick around, that's plain to see. But I, my beloved, are we? So listen here, folks. Here's my thesis. Peace in the world, or the world in pieces. Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Alamogordo, Bikini, San Onofre, Three Mile Island, Chernobyl, Bikini. Whoa, yeah. But it's okay, there's no war in the works. Yes, I'm the one who makes the tyrants fall without creating any more. Now that's the one I'll be looking for. That's the one I'm looking for. The one who makes the tyrants fall without creating any more. Hey, imagine that. Hey, the Greg and Train riding with you on the BPE on KLLG. LP 97.9 FM. Wow, way up here in Twilights. Twilights. We're in Twilights, California. That's on www.kllg.org. So, Train, last week I was reading from the book Scenes of Wonder and Curiosity. And, wait a minute, where did I do with those things? I'm looking around for... He didn't even take them out of the package. I'm so prepared today, Mike. I didn't even take them out of the package. And we're talking about... Ooh. I didn't know you were wearing it. Put that back in there, Gregory G. Hey, you didn't see that. We're not drinking or smoking in here either. Sure, Gregory. You're a funny guy. A fun guy, actually. Okay, there we are. I'm going to put in this well advanced. That is a D harmonica, and D stands for dog, doggy. All right. Enough foolishness. Why? There's never enough of that, is there, Greg? Not in your life. Oh, stop talking to me like that. Oh, boy, I'm having a crisis. Whew, okay, I'm over it. So, I was going to read again out of the book called Scenes of Wonder and Curiosity, and I came across a story just about dogs in California. And it reminded me of the story you, Train Singer, your song, and the story about Boomer Jack, the California Western, or the California Railroad dog called Boomer Jack. Cool, Greg. So let's hear your reading, and I'll sing the ballad of Boomer Jack. Well, all right. So let's look at it. I opened my book to the marked page. And there it is. Oh, this is kind of interesting. You know, the Dog Express, of which the foregoing woodcut is a graphic, there's a beautiful illustration of this book, has become a permanent institution in California. Now, prior to the year 1857, the region of Quincy, Plumas County, was almost cut off from communication with the rest of the world during several months of the winter season. In consequence of the deep snow which formed an impossible barrier to mule travel. Now, the only means for transporting this United States mails and express matter was by packing it on the shoulders of men. Now, this servant was often very hazardous, and a man might, with the aid of snowshoes, be tolerably certain of making the trip with safety. But with an encumbrance of 30 or 40 pounds of mail matter, the trip was not so easy of an accomplishment, particularly as the expressmen would frequently be overtaken by snowstorms miles distant from any habitation. And he'd have to pack his way along steep mountainsides. So this is about 30 miles, and it was over this portion of the route that Whiting and Company of the Feather River Express employed their winter man-pack trains. But in the winter of 1857, Mr. J.B. Whiting undertook the Dog Express enterprise, and the plan has worked very successfully during the last four seasons. The express runs regularly, carrying from 250 to 500 pounds freight, according to the snow, and in ordinary times, one passenger, in addition to the freight, may find accommodation in the sledge. So, when the snow is compact, the trip is usually performed in 10 hours. And during the storm, men are sent out in snowshoes to keep the trail open. And we believe the Dog Express never once met with interruption. The dogs, of which four, are driven on a sledge. They're harnessed a tandem. These animals are of a cross between the Alpine Spaniel, or Bernardine, St. Bernard, and the Newfoundland, the noblest fellows of their race. Now, the particular characteristic of the Bernardine dog, its almost human sagacity and untiring patience in discovering and rescuing passengers from the snowdrift. They're familiar to the mind of every child who has read or heard of the convent on the top of Mount St. Bernard. Now, the Newfoundland is no less entitled to our respect and confidence. His deeds of heroism are also recorded in history. And in his native land, the Newfoundland is employed almost exclusively as a beast of burden. He hauls wood all winter and fish all summer. All association of such traits of character as are found in the Bernardine and Newfoundland must be just the combination suited to the express business. And we only wonder that enterprise similar to that of Whiting's and Company have not been adopted in other portions of the state to meet the requirements for quick dispatch in the transmission of mail matter. Wow, isn't that interesting? I know they have dogs in Canada or in the Yukon, but I don't really, well, there's something new every day, Gregory. Yes, you can. Well, but, so, now there's some working dogs, I gotta say, though. I've always thought that St. Bernard's trekking through deep snow, I've always imagined them with a keg of brandy around their neck, and some dying man gets a final blast from that guy. And, I don't know. Well, now, Boomer Jack, he wasn't exactly a working dog. He's more of a friendly moocher, you might say. And in his book, A Dog's Life, Boomer Jack of the Northwestern Pacific, Lincoln Killian writes a little bit in his description of our doggy, Boomer Jack. My Boomer. Now, whatever his origins, the conquest of the Northwestern California by rail created for Boomer Jack, it's a vast private empire, which he toured at whim aboard mighty steam engines for the rest of his life. He took his name from the Boomers, freelance railroad workers who drifted from town to town. Some called him Hobo Jack or Bummer Jack. Excuse me. He had no master, but hundreds of protectors, the engineers, firemen, brakemen, conductors, switchmen, section men, mechanics, and station agents of the Northern Pacific. Jack's lifestyle was simple in theory. He ranged back and forth between Humboldt and Marin counties, stopping off at stations or trainmen's home. But his actual schedule was unpredictable. In Eureka, many trainmen live far from the station, so Jack visited them by streetcar. He learned the routes, shuttled back and forth on his own. No great feat, apparently, for a railroad dog. Now, Ray Haley, who ran a trolley from 1913 to 1916, still remembered the free-loading passenger. And you know, sustenance was no problem for Boomer Jack. Aside from the extra morsels specially packed in trains men's lunches and the bounty from his overnight hosts, he cased every restaurant along the route. In Eureka, he frequented the alleys behind Young's Restaurant and Abe's Chop House, awaiting his accustomed scraps. And in Arcata, according to station clerk Blanche Buck, he usually made this round of eateries in early afternoon, returning in time to pick and choose among the late departing trains. This is the story. This is the ballad, by the way, of Boomer Jack, our local guy, by the way, buried it here in Willits. Boomer Jack, Boomer Jack, got his head out the cab, his ears blown back. Boomer Jack, boo, clickety-clack, a vagabond dog, that Boomer Jack. The Northwest Bend Pacific, days of log and steam. Boomer Jack, that railroad dog, first rolled on the scene. Like those drifting train men, oh, Boomer earned his name. All the train folk that he met, no master did he claim. He had a free pass to ride any train along the track, from the humble Mendo Redwoods, 300 miles of open track, rolling down to Sausalito and all the way back. A vagabond's life, a lived that Boomer Jack. Ah, from Humboldt, Mendocino, Sonoma, Marin, 14 years Jack roamed the rails, disembarking now and then. He'd visit friends along the way, all glad to take him in. He was no one's dog, but everybody's friend. Boomer Jack, Boomer Jack, brought his head out the cab, his ears blowing back. Boomer Jack, woo, clickety-clack, a vagabond dog, that Boomer Jack. Not the only dog to ride along the rails. They all had names, they all had tails. And there was Little Hoppin', Oney, and Admiral Dewey, just a few. Those American railroad dogs and the train folk that they knew. And there was Roxy and Patty and Santa Fe and Railroad Jack. All railroad dogs in the history of the track, but that old Boomer Jack traveled longer and covered far more ground than any American railroad dog who ever roamed around. But Boomer Jack ran out of steam in old Willits town. The train folk came from miles and miles around. He's buried in the train yard, watched over by his friends. Boomer Jack lived a dog's life right up to the end. Oh, Boomer Jack, Boomer Jack, got his head out the cab, his ears blowing back. Boomer Jack, woo, clickety-clack, he's a vagabond dog, that Boomer Jack. Just a doggone vagabond Boomer Jack. I get carried away. I thought it was a dog there for a minute. But hey, you know, my wife and I we've been thinking of getting a dog. I mean, can you imagine that? Another member of the family? Is this possible? Well, If I can find that story I brought, did I bring it? Oh, Craig, I may have forgotten a vital portion of my entire life. I can't believe it. No, wait a second, folks. There it is, Gregory. You hide things from yourself. How about you, Mike? I can't believe what I put that away, but I can't find it. All right. But anyway, but not until our old cat, we're not going to get it gone, until our old cat Zanzibar is gone, you know, and he's been around a long time, and he would not be happy if his secure world allowed an intruder to disrupt his latter days. So, but now that we're talking about cats and dogs, I want to share a short story I wrote about some cats and dogs that we've had in a section of our lives. So if you're a cat and dog lover, here, sit back, and here's a little story for you. Excuse me. Oh, no! Not on the bed! Get out! Get out! And with these cries from my wife, my pal, Archie, was banned from the house forever. I've been living alone, you know, with my big black dog, Archie, for about 5 years before I met my present wife. It wasn't long before she and I were actually fighting over Archie's right to be in the house at night. Well, now Archie, you know, he was all dog, as they say. You know, that is, he liked to scratch and lick and bite himself as he made himself comfortable at night. And, you know, and these very audible habits, plus his groaning and his, and you know what else, and his smell. Well, finally, his being caught on the bed added up to my best pal, Archie, sleeping outside against the front door. Well, that dog is filthy, and he belongs outdoors, she argued. Somehow I felt Archie was being betrayed, but I soon realized that it wasn't worth fighting over, believe me. Now, the years rolled by, and Archie finally passed away. And I guess he left a vacant spot in the family, for we welcomed the first stray cat that came along. I mean, and because the sun shone reddish in his black fur, we called him Rufus. But we always fed him outside, and the rule held until we moved away, except when Grandma let him in at Christmas, leaving Rufus to the neighborhood from whence he had come. Now, after moving to a new town, as fate would have it, we inherited a German shepherd puppy prenamed Pasha. Of course, he too was restricted by the out-of-doors rule. Recalling our brief friendship with Rufus the cat, the wife and kids surprised me one day with a kitten from Safeway. And this skinny little gray kitten was a real winner, though. I mean, he really was a soulful kitty. Willow trees grew in the backyard, and since the new kitten was the color of the pussy willow, we named him Willow. Now, Pasha fell helplessly and possessively in love with this pitiful gray kitten. He showered his affection on Willow by holding him down with one big paw and mouthing and licking him until Willow looked like a drowned rat. And when Pasha's affections became too much for Willow, he would meow feebly. His plaintive cry would bring my wife to the rescue. Oh, poor kitty, oh, she would say as she brought Willow into the house and wrapped him in a towel and set him on the bed. The situation seemed grave enough to bend the house rules on the pets on the bed, so. Cats are different, she would say as Willow sniffed her little finger. Willow had a peculiar habit of sucking any pinky figure offered, much to the delight of all the little children, and some of the adults, too. Oh, I want to do it. I want to do it. Oh, geez. Well, soon the love affair between Pasha and Willow became less one-sided as Willow grew to be playful enough to avoid entrapment. Willow would lie and wait for Pasha to pass by, Then he'd leap out at him, hopping sideways, and startle him, and then run for the safety of a rose bush or a parked car. They eventually teamed up to be quite a ratter and quite a mouser. And speaking of that, one morning we heard the unmistakable sound of mice squeak, squeaking. You know how that is. And looking out the bathroom window, we saw Willow toying with a very lively mouse. We praised him loudly, "Good kitty, oh!" out the bathroom window. And he pawed and flipped the helpless rodent about the path. He seemed to sense our enjoyment. "Good dog, good kitty, good kitty." And when he looked up to acknowledge our applause, the mouse scurried into the safety of the blackberry bushes, leaving the cat scurrying around, sniffing the ground. What happened? But from catching a mouse that Grandma heard in her room, or catching the mice in our closet, the best episodes came when he'd catch the mice live and jump into the bathtub with them. A couple of mornings we woke to mouse squeaks coming from the bathroom. And we would walk in, and there he'd be playing the cat and mouse game in the tub where mouse escape was impossible. These times, Willow took in all the applause and did not lose his catch. Ah, did you hear me turn the page? Sure you did. All soulful characteristics considered, Willow left a big cat hole in our lives with his untimely death by a rattlesnake. Now, my wife searched for another cat. It was on. She was looking. We had just finished reading James Thurber's The Great Quillo. And in that story, the beginning of the sickness is recognized when everyone answers you by saying, "Waddly, waddly, waddly, oddly, waddly." Well, that's the name we named our next cat, Waddly. Big mistake. Right off the bat, she wasn't friendly. She got loose and ran and hid in the house most of the day. Really? God. Finally, she peed under the refrigerator and messed the dirty clothes, oh, right in the basket. Well, she was bodily thrown out. But she still had to be fed inside because Basha always chased her at feeding time. Jeez. And while inside, she developed the annoying habit of yeah, rah, whenever the milk was taken out. God. Naturally, as time passed, my wife grew to despise the ungiving Waddly. Now, as cats do, however, Waddly had kittens. Oh, gee. She took up residence inside the house by bringing her 2-day-old kittens into the armoire. And for a while, motherhood made her a better cat out of Waddly. She even let you pet her. Ooh, wow. And however, as the kittens grew and received names of their own, like Smokey, Blackjack, Rascal, Scraps, Waddly got back to her no-good ways. She and my wife got to glaring at each other until one day she took Waddly for a 1-way, 7-mile ride, dropped her off. Everyone understood, and no one protested her actions. Soon the kids all had favorite among the kittens. Donna fell for the black and white with the extra toes. She called him Scraps. Oh, Scraps did have a way about him from the beginning. He would always jump into the metal can containing the cat food while the others fought for positions around the feeding bowl. Scraps liked to sit in laps, too, and it wasn't long before he began to fill the hole left by the departed Willow. Now, about 6 months after her 1-way ride, and much to our amazement, Waddly, the exiled cat, returned, probably checking on her kittens. Her tail resembled that of a rat, and she was quite thin. However, she found her way back, and how she did it, it remains a mystery. However, not long after that, she did disappear again, never to return. Soon, we also moved on to another location. We took Scraps, the extra-toed one, when we left. Now, Scraps and Pasha get along well for cats and dogs. Scraps loves dust baths. He has fleas and occasionally gets wormy. Sometimes he's allowed in the house for feeding, and occasionally he even sleeps in the house. For example, yesterday afternoon I walked into our bedroom and I could hardly believe what I saw. Scraps, the cat, was asleep on our bed, right on the pillows. He opened his eyes just a slit like they do to see what I'd do. House rule in mind, I approached the bed. He looked at me steadily in the eyes through those slits. I reached out and I put my finger firmly on his shoulder and I said, "You're getting away with plenty, buddy." Still, I left him there and I left the room thinking about my old dog, Archie. Why, he had an interesting story, too. Yet, he was banned from the house. Now, Scraps, the cat, is sleeping on the bed. Cats and dogs in the house. You know, it's just not worth fighting over. And in this case, I'll bet my wife agrees. And there you have it. Huh. Are you still awake out there? Oh, come on. How much time do we have messing around here?
14 minutes.
Oh, goody. Yes, if what we did with Wadley, that despicable scratch, scratch, scratch at the back door window, that unfriendly cat, if you think that was wrong, but we did, well, you're right, actually. I have actually felt sorry about that over the years, but oh well, I probably should have just shot him. Oh, Greg, well, you didn't say that. No, I didn't. I did. Oh, yeah, Greg, right? You know, old Mr. Johnson, he had troubles of his own. He had an old yellow cat that would not leave home. He tried everything he knew to get that cat to stay away. He took him up to Laytonville. He told him for to stay. Hey. But the cat came back the very next day. The cat came back, he thought he was a goner. But the cat came back, he just could not stay away, 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 away. He gave me to a man going up in a balloon, telling him for to leave him with the man in the moon. That balloon got busted and back to earth and head. 7 miles away they picked that man up dead. The cat came back the very next day. The cat came back, they thought he was a goner, but the cat came back, he just could not stay away, away, away. That hunter in the forest said, "I'll shoot that cat on sight." He loaded up his gun full of rocks and dynamite. The gun went off, was heard all over town, and little pieces of the man was all they ever found. Well, the cat came back the very next day. The cat came back, they thought he was a goner, but the cat came back, he just couldn't stay away, 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 away. Hey, they gave him to a little boy with a dollar and a note. "Why don't you take that cat on your leaky old boat?" He grabbed that yellow cat, wrapped him in his jacket, round and round. Now they're dragging up the river with that little boy who drowned. Oh. But the cat came back the very next day. He came back, they thought he was a goner. The cat came back, he just could not stay. Maybe they took that yellow cat, dude. They thought it would be best. Put him on that old skunk train heading way out west. Well, the train was racing down the track when it struck a rock. And all the people on the train suffered greatly from the shock. Oh, but the cat came back the very next day. The cat thought he was a goner, but the cat came back, he just could not stay away. They took him to that place where all the meat is ground. They dropped him in the hopper with the bush turned not around. That cat disappeared with a blood-curdling shriek. Town's meat tasted furry for the rest of the week. The cat came back the very next day. You know the cat came back. They thought he was a goner, but the cat came back. Yes, he did. Could not stay away. God help him. Help that guy. They took him to Cape Canaveral. You know, they put him in a place. They loaded him on a shuttlecraft heading up into space. And when they finally thought that cat was out of human reach, the next day they got this phone call from down in Miami Beach.
Hello? I'm back. That's right.
The cat came back. The very next day, the cat came back. They thought he was a goner. Yes, they did. He came back, you know. He just would not stay away.
You got a cat like that? Yeah.
Well, they took that yellow cat. They pressed him to the max. They put him in a little bag full of that old anthrax. Hey, they put him in a box. They shipped him the world around. Now everybody's dead. Lying all around. Yikes, look out, look out. But the cat came back the very next day. Cat came back, they thought he was a goner, but the cat came back, he just could not stay away, 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 away. That's the train singer, and train, and Greg, and all of us in the studio getting higher by the minute. God, stop it. That's good. So, you know, train, I've been hogging it, as you can see. I got carried away with cats and dogs. So, do you maybe you could play up? Oh, wait, how much time do we have now?
We got 7 minutes.
7 minutes. Oh, gosh. You know, I'm going to skip through this and see if I can do my little thing on Terry Jones, of course. I said, just passed away at 77, and of the Monty Python fame, and I've loved his wit, I've enjoyed it, and his brand of humor for years, and he's one of my favorite stories, one of his fairy tales by Terry Jones. A little girl was lying in bed one night when she heard a tapping on her window. She was rather frightened, but she went to the window and opened it, telling herself that it was probably just the wind. But when she looked out, do you know what she saw? It was a little creature as black as soot, with bright yellow eyes, and it was sitting on a cat that appeared to be flying. "Hello," said the creature. "Would you like to come flying?" "Yes, please," said the little girl. And she climbed out of the window and on the cat, and off they flew. Whee! "Hang on tight," cried the creature. "Where are we going?" asked the little girl. "I don't know," cried the creature. "Where are you? Who are you?" asked the little girl. "I haven't got a name," said the creature. "I'm just a fly by night." And up they went into the air, over the hills and away. Well, the little girl looked around her at the bright moon and the stars that seemed to wink at her and chuckle to themselves. And then she looked down at the black world below her, and she was suddenly frightened again and said, "How will I find our way back?" "Oh, don't worry about that," he cried, fly by night. "What does it matter?" At least he leaned on the cat's whiskers, and down they swooped toward the dark earth. "But I must be able to get home," cried the little girl. "Oh, my mother and father will wonder where I am." "Oh, poop-de-doo," cried the fly by night, and he pulled back on the cat's whiskers, and up they sailed. Whee! Up and up and up the stars again, and the stars were humming in rhythm, going boodle-dee-dee, boodle-dee-da, isn't it great to be a star? And all the stars had hands, and they started clapping in unison. Oh, and suddenly the moon opened his mouth and sang in a loud, booming voice, I'm just the moon, but that's fine by me, as long as I hear that boodle-dee-dee. And the cat opened its mouth wide and sang, wee! And turned in circles in the rhythm of the stars. But the little girl started to cry and said, oh, please, I want to go home. Oh, no, you don't, cried the fly-by-night and took the cat straight up as fast as they could go. And the stars seemed to flash past them like silver darts. Oh, please, cried the little girl, take me back. Spoil sport. Wow. So, when this ain't my home, here you go. Well, okay. It'll be around here somewhere. So, the little girl looking around at the dark, lonely countryside. But we've come miles and miles from my home, cried the little girl. But it was too late. The fly-by-night had pulled back on the cat's whiskers, and away he soared up into the night sky. And the last little girl saw of him was a black shape silhouetted against the moon. The little girl shivered and looked around her, wondering if there were any wild animals about. Oh, which way should I go? She wondered.
Try the path through the wood, said a stone at her feet.
So she set off along the path that led through the dark wood. And as soon as she got amongst the trees, the leaves blotted out the light of the moon. Branches clutched at her hair, and roots tried to trip her feet. And she thought she heard the trees snigger quietly, and they seemed to say to each other, that'll teach her to go off with a fly-by-night. Suddenly, she felt a cold hand gripping her neck. But it was just a cobweb strung with dew. And she heard the spider busy itself with repairs muttering, tut, tut, tut. She went off with a fly-by-night. Tut, 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 tut. And as the little girl peered into the woods, she thought she could see eyes watching her and winking to each other and little voices you could barely hear whispering under the leaves.
What a silly girl. To go off with a fly-by-night. She should have known better. Da, da, da,
da. Eventually, she felt so miserable and so foolish that she just sat down and cried by a still pond. Now then, what's the matter? Said a kindly voice. The little girl looked up and then all around her, but she couldn't see anyone.
Who's that?
She asked. Look in the pond, said the voice, and she looked down and saw the reflection of the moon smiling up at her out of the pond. Don't take on so, said the moon.
But I've been so silly, said the little girl, and now I'm quite, quite lost, and I don't know how I'll ever get home.
You'll get home all right, said the moon's reflection. Hop on a lily pad and follow me. So the little girl stepped cautiously on a lily pad, and the moon's reflection started to move slowly across the pond and then down the stream, and the little girl paddled the little lily pad after it. Slowly, silently, they slipped through the night forest, and then out into the open fields they followed the stream until they came to a hill she recognized. And suddenly there was her own house. Oh, she ran as fast as she could and climbed through the window of her own room and snuggled into her own dear bed. And the moon smiled in at her through the window, and she fell asleep thinking how silly she had been to go off with a fly-by-night. But you know, somewhere deep down inside her, she half hoped she'd hear another tap on her window one day and find another fly-by-night offering her a ride on its flying cat. But she never did. Oh, Terry Jones, a real creative comedian, wonderful character in our lives. So we have a little time here, or no time at all. Did I over speak it?
We're just about over.
Oh, well then, hey. I'll get this one. The Bipolar Express. I said the Bipolar Express. On KLLG, LB 97.9. FM radio. Radio KLLG LP
97.9 FM Willis, Willis, California. See you next week. Woo! Wee-wee!